Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Alan Parker said, sometimes with the British film industry, it's hard to know if we're waving or drowning. Let's find out.
Welcome to another Britflix.com podcast. My name's Stuart Wright, and we're talking Christmas horror. Please introduce yourselves, my new guests.
Hey, this is Dominic. I'm the creator and one of the three producers of Deathcember, the ultimate advent horror anthology movie.
And my name is Ivo. I'm also one of the producer and Dominic's minion.
I don't know what that makes me then. So, Deathcember, do you want to, before we go into any details then, do you want to, you've given some indication as to what it is, but do you want to give a brief sort of synopsis as to the concept for Deathcember, please?
Yeah, absolutely. Deathcember is sort of a cinematic advent calendar. I don't know exactly how important the advent calendar is around the world, but in Germany you can't have, oh, by the way, we're from Germany, yeah. And in Germany, you can't have Christmas without the advent calendar. It's really an integral part of the whole season. And so the idea developed in a way that, now I think I'll maybe talk about that a little more later, but the idea is you have 24 directors delivering 24 short films, and like behind each door of the calendar, you'll have a new story. And they all lead up to Christmas. And it's not all straight up Christmas horror. Most of the films are, but there are also some which are just set in December, just like in an advent calendar. Not each of the pictures you'll find behind the door is of Santa or of Jesus or whatnot, but you have some wintry image. With us, yes, 24 stories that take a look at the dark side of the festive season.
Now, before we get into the actual films themselves, let's nail down this this Christmas tradition of the advent calendar. It is exactly the same in Britain. I can't speak for USA, but what's changed over the years, I don't know if it's been the same in Germany, is that I remember as a kid, I mean, maybe I'm just older, I don't know, my first advent calendars were just opening a door and there's a picture of Christmas. Then for some reason, if it's not a toy or something to eat now, people don't buy them.
Yeah. It seems to have gotten a little crazy over the years. When we did some research last year, or what we found, especially in the UK, actually, we found beer calendars, we found actual whiskey calendars and weird toy calendars for adults and whatnot. So, yeah, but I mean, that's probably in line with how the world is turning anyway. I mean, everything is more and more loud and great and colorful, and you need to have more and more and more of everything. But, yeah, I think we're pretty old too. So when we grew up,
it was basically, I mean, I think one of my first was also only with pictures, but then obviously we got the ones with chocolate in it. And I have to admit, I don't mind this upgrade at all. I still have, my mom still gives me one each year, and I open one door each day.
Oh, you're a lucky boy.
You are. I mean, it's one of the things, I mean, I don't have any children, so it's one of the things that that's missing from my house these days is an advent calendar come December. And I think that's largely due to the fact that I have a birthday on the 8th of December, and I tend to hate Christmas until it arrives because because it gets in the way of my birthday.
Sure.
Yeah, I understand that perfectly.
Yeah.
Now, so let's start at the beginning of this process, because it's no mean feat to make a feature film, and it's no mean feat to bring together 24 film projects under one umbrella. So where for you guys did the, or how did the process of Deathcember as an idea come to fruition? Like, what was the light bulb moment for you to bring this on?
Well, it all actually started in the late summer of 2016. If I remember correctly, I was at some film festival and I was watching a film. I really can't remember which one it was, but I think it was a film that rather bored me a little bit. And I started thinking, okay, so Dominic, how would a film look like that pleases you totally? And I'm a huge fan of Christmas horror, and I'm a huge fan of anthologies, especially ABCs of Death was something that blew my mind.
Right.
So I started thinking, well, why not combine those two concepts? And I spend a lot of my time thinking about films all the time. I have like a ton of scripts that I've started, but most of them I abandon at some point because most of my ideas I come up with, when I look at them like a week later, I'm not so convinced anymore. But in this case, I was like, this sounds really interesting. So who could I talk to about this? Then I was thinking of Ivo, who's a longtime friend, and he's been working in the film business for
nearly 20 years now. Well, actually over 20 years, but I'm usually doing acquisitions for a German label. So, and I was also involved in the production of three of the films that my company did. And so this is why Dominic contacted me. And that was actually on a birthday party of a friend of mine.
Mm-hmm.
And you know how it is when you have too much Coke and rum. find everything very interesting and very appealing. And but the concept actually, you know, did stand tall for the next day as well. And this is where I actually then started thinking, who can we talk to? And luckily, because of my job, I already had contacts with a couple of directors.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just pitched them the idea and, you know, said, listen, this is kind of thing that Dominic told me. And would you be interested in doing this? And everybody was kind of like, actually, that is a cool idea. And so we started collecting these letters of intent for a couple of those directors, especially from Germany.
And wait, before we did that, because Ivo was really convinced of that, he started thinking about how could we actually get this off the ground. And he said, let's talk to Frank, who is the third of us three producers, because Frank is a guy who is one of the owners of a post-production facility and who has already produced or accompanied the production or created special effects, etc., for quite a few movies.
Mm-hmm.
And also, what's more important, he has already been in the process of getting funding from German film funding institutions. So, yeah, he was totally into that idea too. And then we got on and collected LOEs of potential directors. And then we applied for funding the first time in spring of 2017, I think.
Yeah, and of course we got shut down.
But the actual reason was they told us from the beginning that's a really interesting concept and we love how international it's going to be and the whole thing sounds really, really good. But we need get a little more detailed info because at that point, the only thing we were submitting were, those letters of intent and a few first treatments of directors. Because to tell you the truth, in the beginning, our idea was we're going to give our directors total creative freedom. We don't even want to know ourselves what their films will be like. We just want to be surprised like everyone in the audience will be in the end when they see one film after the other. So we give our directors a certain budget and tell them, sure, the film has to be set in the advent season and it has to have a certain genre connection and something to do with Christmas or winter or whatever. But apart from that, you're totally free to do what you want. And the funding commission said, yeah, we can appreciate the idea, but sorry, we can't do that. We need a little more flesh and blood here. No, not flesh and blood, but a little more flesh. So you are welcome to apply again, which they normally never say. But this time, please also submit a few finished scripts, at least 10. And if you do that, we'll see what we can do.
Fantastic.
So, yeah, then fast forward to summer of 2018, I think, or spring of 2018. Through Evo's contacts, we got in contact with XL Carolyn in the US, who then put us in touch with Chelsea Stardust, who was one of the most important persons for us in regards to getting directors in the US, because she's a great person. She knows so many great other persons that we actually got 6 or 7 of our American directors directly through Chelsea. Chelsea was originally attached to the project too, but she had to drop out because she had 2 feature films to finish at the time.
She's just recently been on the podcast talking about Satanic Panic.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, I heard that. And exactly, Satanic Panic was the reason why she had to drop out, and she was heartbroken, and so were we. But yeah, she managed to get us Sam Weinman and Michael Verratti and Vivian Vaughn and all the others. And that was, I think, in the summer of 2018, we had most of the directors together, and then we got the green light in September of 2018. Then Evo and I went to see JIS.
Yeah, it was a festival, and of course we saw a lot of films, and as you know, there are a lot of guests there, so we were able to talk to the directors or sometimes the producers, and they all liked the concept and said, listen, that's actually something we want to be part of. And so we were able to get a couple of people like Isaac Aspern, for example, or Lazar Podroža, who were there with their films. We saw the film. We were really in awe, especially with Lazar's movie that is blowing away with the visuals. And he delivered kind of the same year, and I was again blown away. So good choice. pat on my own shoulder. No, so Sieges was really cool because the organizers helped us finding a lot of people, gave us contacts. And after that, we were basically set and could directly
begin production.
Yeah. 2 weeks after the festival, our 2 Spanish directors, Zatak and Sonia, they started shooting on the first weekend of November last year. So that was the first 2 films that were actually already finished in November last year.
Yeah. Now you said there was no brief, but there must have been some sort of nobody was expected to produce 30 minutes or stuff. So what was the basic brief that everyone, obviously you've got something to sit with in December. So obviously Christmas themed is the basic brief. What was the time limit you gave people?
That no brief thing, that was the original idea in the very beginning. Then when we went into actual production, we certainly had to narrow that down a little bit. The thing is, we told people you can do whatever genre you want. It can be a brutal blood splatter fest. It can be a black comedy. It can be science fiction. It can be a Western, or it can be a musical, whatever you feel like, as long as it's rooted in the genre and it has some connection to the advanced season. And you have a maximum runtime of 5 minutes.
Okay, 5 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. As you would expect, most of the directors went a little longer than 5 minutes, but we don't have any film that's longer than 6 minutes. I think that's where we pulled the total breaks in. The shortest film is 2.5 minutes. Yeah. So, and they have had a fixed budget, and basically that was it. I mean, obviously.
Are you allowed to say what the fixed budget was?
Yeah, we can do that. I mean, it was really not very much. It's
5,000 euros.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. So you're making people work for the dollar then.
Yeah,
absolutely. But that's the money we had. I mean, we got a certain amount from the funding board, but there was only, I don't know, 180,000.
So we got about 1/3 of the budget we got from the funding board. About another 1/3 came from us or private investors who supported us when they heard about the project. And then we have another 1/3 that is basically on... actually, I don't know what the English word is when you say that you pay when the money comes in.
Cash on delivery.
No, not really. That's when you get a delivery.
You mean we pay the people once we earn money?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So, I know what you mean. Well, just say that. That makes sense. When you've got the money, you can pay them.
Yeah. And we had a Kickstarter campaign too, obviously. That was a small one. We actually did that to have a little more money for the animation sequences. Because our film is made of 24 segments, and in between these segments, we have short animation sequences that kind of link them all together. And these are completely computer generated. So that's where we needed some extra money for, and we did the Kickstarter for that.
Now, for people who, so people can imagine, can picture the scale of what this project was. So, at what part of each short film's process are you receiving the films from the filmmakers to say, when they go, there you go, I finished. How far down the line is their film when you get it? Is it all graded? Is it cut? Is it completely? Is it just ready just to slot into whatever place you put it, or was there more?
It's different. It depends, actually.
Okay.
Yeah. In most cases, the film were really finished.
Okay.
We had a couple where the people ask us, because we have. In addition to Frank's company, who does a lot of the visual post-production works, like, you know, some CGI effects or some color grading or this kind of stuff,
mm-hmm.
we also had people who did the audio work, like the 5.1 mix, the M&E mixing. And so the people came to us and said, listen, we don't have a facility at the moment. Who can do that? Can you take over and do the 5.1 mix that you expect us to deliver? And so we said, yeah, we can do that. Obviously, it's going to cost a little bit of money, but we have somebody here who's like offering us a good deal. And as you know, one of the biggest problems when you do a low budget film, you have to rely on people who love your project, who love to work on it, and do it for
free, basically.
Either for free or for a very low amount of money.
Are you telling me that all filmmakers are not Hollywood millionaires? Is that what you're saying?
I don't believe this.
This is fake news, isn't it, surely?
Yeah, that is correct. I mean, all of them made, you know, millions already. We are the losers.
No,
but the thing is, I mean, the problem is when people do this and offer you this kind of service, it's they have to do it in between other jobs where they get their normal regular pay, and that obviously leads some to delays because they have to finish a project where they get the normal rates and then come to our project. And that's the same with the filmmakers who said to us, you know, listen, I can't do the 5.1 mix in the time you expect us to deliver all the finished material. Do you have a facility that can do this? And so this is where some of the elements were done here, some of the post elements. There were a couple of CGI shots that had to be done for a couple of films. But in most cases, actually, you were delivered the finished film.
Yeah. But to take a step back, I mean, the original, the process in a whole is... like every one of the filmmakers obviously first gave us a treatment of what he was planning to do.
Yeah.
And like 90% or 95% of them gave us a final script, a shooting script, more or less. And with like really only a handful, we had a few comments and said, this is a little close to a story someone else is also shooting. Or maybe this isn't clear enough. Maybe you could add a line of dialogue or whatever. But in general, we left them to do what they wanted to do with just a little bit of feedback or rephrasing from our side. And then we asked them beforehand, obviously, can you do that for this small amount of money? And also with this very, very tight schedule. But because you need to imagine, we started the whole thing on November 1st. And the deadline to deliver the finished films was March 31, if I remember correctly. And practically everyone managed to do that. There were a few that asked for an extension of that beforehand because they were in the middle of feature film production, but there was only two or three people. And then there were another three to four who had some problems with being finished on time. But I think by the end of May, everyone was completely finished. Yeah. And we received most cases. Yeah, we actually received the final film. Most cases it was even already graded when we received it.
Yeah.
But if not, the grading would take like two or three more weeks after what we've seen was the final cut. So, yeah, basically, this was all very straightforward and very much this is the film I want to do. Okay, this is the film I'm going to do, and this is what it's going to look like, and this is it. And we were all, in practically every case, wow, this is fantastic. We really love all the guys that we've worked with, but sorry we're talking too much.
It's okay. No, it's better you're talking than me, because I'm not promoting a film. So when you had all 24 in, was there already an order decided, or was the order that they fall into Deathcember decided by the stories that each one, what you saw as the finished thing, and how that might fit with your animation indents that are in between each one?
Well, it depends. Again, we had a few films that were from the very outset on, that were designed to be played at a certain date. Like, for example, Milan Todorovic has a film, his segment is called December the 19th, because he's from Serbia, and in Serbia, December the 19th is the most important celebratory date. They celebrate some saint that is pretty close to Santa, but it's a special Serbian saint, and celebrations there take place on the 19th. So he said, can I have my film on the 19th? And we were like, yeah, sure, why not? So this was set from the very beginning, December the 19th will be Milan's film. Or we have Jason Rostowski, whose film is very close linked to the Hanukkah tradition. And Hanukkah in 2019 starts on the evening of December 22. So we said, okay, the 22nd film will be Jason. But so we had like around five films that were fixed on a specific date. And apart from that, we really were looking at these films and asking ourselves what will fit where best. We tried to mostly never have two films following up on each other which don't have English language, because we want to make this film easily digestible for people everywhere, and English is the language everyone speaks. Because that was one of my few problems with ABCs of Death, for example. It starts off with like five or six films in a row that are all subtitled and are not in English language, and I can imagine this can be very off-putting for audiences. So we didn't want to have that in a way. So we tried to have always one English language and then another language, then again English, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay.
Because
it's interesting there, because I did wonder actually whether or not different cultures would have different important dates. You've got Hanukkah, you've got the Serbian saint. What other special, I mean, obviously, I only think of like we get to Christmas Eve. That's what we're building up to. It's the, you know, it's the day before Christmas Day. So what other dates in the advent calendar were important to the filmmakers?
Actually, I think with the exception of those handful filmmakers, nobody actually said something. I have to say, because when we contacted them, we specifically asked them if they could leave a date out of their
story.
Yeah. So we could place the film wherever you would like, because when we started the production process in November, we hadn't signed all 24 directors by that time. For example, it was still unclear if Lucky McGee and Pollyanna could do their segments for us due to the commitment to other projects.
Got you.
And so we had their stories, and we had different scripts already there. To give you actually the rundown, by the time when we came back from Cedars, we could have done December two times, because we had over 40 people interested in shooting a short film. So we had to decide on the people, and we went with a good mixture between some well-known names and some of the
newcomers.
And we even played it safe and commissioned actually 27 shorts. Just to be on the safe side, because right when we, you know, started production, Chelsea had to drop out, and she couldn't do it, and you know, because we were really hoping she could do it still. She wanted to do it, wanted to see if she can, like, in between
post-production
process of Satanic Panic, that she can do. So it was never quite clear until, like, March, April, when we had received all the elements, what kind of stories will be there in the end. And this is where we, you know, then looked at the whole thing and said, okay, this is going to be perfect for this day, and this is going to be perfect for that day, with the exception of, like, as I said, five people who said, okay, this day is very specific in our country, but it's not the 24th.
Yeah, but indeed, that's one of the other restrictions we gave people. Forgot to mention that. We told them, yeah, please don't set your film to a specific date, at least not before getting back to us and talking about it with us. Because actually, in the very beginning, we were very afraid that we would end up with 24 films set on December 24 that all feature a psycho Santa with an axe walking through the bloody snow, which are films we love a lot, but he's been done to death. And no, we wanted a variety. So yeah,
it's fun. It's fun looking through the list because I can see like Isaac Esben, Julian Richards, Trent Hager, Pollyanna McIntosh. Are all alumni of the podcast.
Cool.
Michael Verratti, I met him at New Orleans Horror Festival a few years ago. So,
cool.
Yeah, so it's a sort of a who's who really for me looking down your list. And then obviously, for personal reasons, you've got Mr. Deodato of Cannibal Holocaust fame.
That's
weirdly, as a young child, Cannibal Holocaust was one of my first horror film experiences. So
I think that was a very harsh experience for all of us.
Yeah, I was 10.
Teenager times.
I was 10.
Oh wow, that's way too early.
That's way too early.
I was 10. We got Cannibal Holocaust and Life of Brian as a double bill on a Sunday from the VHS local VHS store, and it was a hell of a surprise. And I think it's probably why I'm sat here talking to you now. But it did trauma me for a while.
Yeah, I can actually believe that. Life of Brian is really, really traumatizing.
Yeah, shocking that I was able to watch that really anti-religious nonsense.
No, but that was so beautiful how it all came together. I mean, even all of our directors didn't know who was going to be in the movie with them until we made the announcement. And, you know, we started our Kickstarter campaign on December 1st in 2018. And at the same time, we started our whole social media communication, meaning that on one day per December day last year, we already had our event calendar because we announced one of our directors per day, starting on December 1st and then running to December 24. Actually, December 26, because what we haven't mentioned yet is, now, Ivo said we commissioned 27 films, and which means that we actually have 27 segments. And this means that we actually have 26 in our film. Our feature film is made up of 24 segments, but we have another two segments in the extra credits and at the end of the extra credits,
like
a proper Marvel film.
So Easter eggs for Christmas.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah,
no, and I think we announced Ruggero Deodato on December 25, I think, or 24, I can't remember, something like that. It was a Christmas surprise.
Yeah.
And we got emails from quite a few of our younger American directors who were like, oh my God, this is, I can't believe it, it's a life dream. My God, I'm in the same film as Ruggero Deodato. And we were basically the same. It's such an honor to have him in our film. That's, yeah. And also Lucky, obviously, and all the others, Trent Hager. We met him at a festival in Germany in 2017 and talked to him about the idea. And yeah, we've stayed in touch all this time, and he's been attached to the project all this time. And yeah, he was one of the first three people to deliver his finished film.
Yeah.
And he was also the first one to deliver his audio commentary. And it all came together beautifully.
So just as a little teaser then, so the film, so the segments that you've been involved in producing yourself, do you want to give the listener maybe a little insight into what type of Christmas horror or dark comedy you've created for Deathcember?
Sure. I created a film myself, which ended up on number one in the list, which actually feels embarrassing to me because there are so many great names involved in this project. And I certainly didn't want to be the one to start this whole thing off, but the story demands for it in a way, because my story is about a little boy who awakes on December the 1st and, sees his advent calendar and goes wild. He goes really wild. He's not like the nicest kid you can imagine.
Mm-hmm.
On the contrary, he's like many kids tend to be nowadays, very egocentric, and he wants it all for himself, and he wants it all right now. Meaning he tears open his advent calendar and he empties it, and he's still not satisfied, because then he picks his little sister's advent calendar and empties that too. And it's still not enough. So he, on his way to school, he goes to a supermarket and steals even more advent calendars and starts to empty them until he is approached by, well, may it be the devil or just the nice old men. I don't know. Yeah, and what happens then, I won't spoil here now, but it's got a bit of a Twilight Zone vibe because I personally am, yeah, I'm an anthology fan and I'm also a total, I adore the Twilight Zone since I can imagine, since I can remember. So I try to do something in that vein. It's my segment is not very bloody. It's more dark, dark, dark fantasy, I'd say.
So, who's, and, so I was going to say, so from my own egotistical point of view, who have you chosen for number 8, 8th of December?
Number 8 is Steve DeRover, I think. Ooh. Let me check again. Steve is from Belgium, and he's one of the people that I think Ivo knew a little longer, right?
Yeah, well, actually, we met on at the BIFF, at the Brussels International Fantastic Film Festival.
Got you.
And he was introduced to me by a friend of mine, Nicole, and I saw his short film Mool, and I liked it, and he's a big fan of body horror, so and this is something that we didn't have at all in the anthology, and I said, okay, yeah, body horror, count me in. And
he delivered beautiful. It's body horror. It's really, really gruesome. It's called Family Matters, and you can read that as Family is Important or These Are Family Matters. I'm still not even really sure what it is.
Now, so it's early days for Deathcember. So in terms of people seeing it, and you're about to embark on your festival run. So what dates have you got in the diary already?
We're going to start actually on Thursday, which is 2 days from now, in San Sebastian. Mm-hmm. We're really, really delighted to be there at the Halloween Night Gala. Incidentally, Pollyanna's film, Darlin', is playing two slots before ours, which is really fun. And then there's a double slot of The Furies and Deathcember. And this is going to be a world premiere. It's a sold-out screening, and I hear the audience is going really wild at San Sebastian, so we're really excited to see what's going to happen there.
Fantastic. So world premiering on Halloween 2019. That's fantastic news. So what after this podcast, that'll be a bin and gone by the time the podcast hits the airwaves. So what dates have you got? Have you got any future dates in the diary, or can people follow you on social media to keep ahead of news?
Yeah, that's obviously always the best choice to follow us on social media, because we're pretty active, especially on Instagram and Facebook. It's Deathcember Movie on both of these channels, mm-hmm. and on Twitter it's Deathcember Film. Mm-hmm. Oh, and we also got YouTube. It's Deathcember Movie, where we got a few short videos. For example, all our directors did introductions back last year and some teasers and other stuff. But right now, we've got the first few dates we can announce, and that's on the 4th of November, we're in South Africa at the South African Horror Fest.
Excellent.
Then on November the 10th, we have our American premiere in Rochester at the first ever Anomaly Film Fest, which is a new festival with a completely incredible lineup. They have Extraordinary, for example, and Why Don't You Just Die, and Daniel Isn't Real, and so forth. And after that, we will have a screening at a Serbian film festival, Dead Lake, but it's not clear if it's going to be the 15th or the 16th of November.
Yeah.
And after that, we're in Finland, in Helsinki, at Night Visions.
Excellent. Good guys at Night Visions.
Yeah, I can't wait for that one.
Yeah.
But we don't have the date as of yet. It's sometime between the 20th and the 24th of November. And then we got some more festivals after that, but we can't announce them just yet.
Cool.
But in January, we're going to have the German premiere at the Fantasy Film Fest, White Nights, the biggest one in Germany and across 7 cities. So, yeah.
Say that again. So there's a horror festival that takes place across 7 cities?
Yeah, three times a year, actually. It's
wow.
It's a travel festival. It's in Berlin, in Hamburg, in Munich, Cologne, Nuremberg, Stuttgart, yeah, and Frankfurt, where we're hailing from. And they got the big festival that's running for 10 days each summer. And then they got their winter festival, the White Nights, in January. And then in April or May, they have the Nights. Which is for a weekend. So in January, they're going to also have, aside from December, they're going to have Jojo Rabbit.
Fantastic. That's amazing. that you could have a national horror festival. That is amazing.
As I said, there's a lot more coming, but we can't announce just yet.
Course. Well, look, I'll put in the show notes the social media details and the YouTube so people can follow it themselves. And if you get any big dates, or you know you're successful in selling the movie or wherever you try and sell it, and you've got release dates, then let us know as soon as you can, and we'll update the show notes accordingly.
Great, we'll do that.
We let you know when we're opening Cannes next
year. Well, of course, yeah. Well, I thought you might do a pre-screening in Berlin first, just to set it off. Win the bear there. And then,
maybe.
And then do like a Palme d'Or screening, you know? You get the Critics Week, maybe.
That's good. Critics Week's good. Yeah.
Well, look, all I guess to say is thank you very much for giving us your time on the podcast.
Thank you so much for having us. It means a lot to us.
Absolutely. It was an absolute pleasure. Thank you.
Another season of The Palmetto Porch, an original podcast from Discover South Carolina. I'm Devin Whitmire. Join me as I get to the heart of what makes South Carolina such a great place to visit by speaking to the locals who make it so special. Premiering December 5th, find The Palmetto Porch wherever you get your podcasts. And for more information about our show, visit scpalmettoporch.com.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.